Amen. Good morning. Man, it's a good day to worship the Lord. Amen, church? Yeah. Hey, if you're visiting with us today, just want to say welcome. We really are glad that you're here. We hope that you feel welcomed and encouraged today. We've been praying for you and for the guests that God's bringing through our doors. Usually, for us as a church family, we walk through books of the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, just to study and see what God has for us in the books that we're walking through. But sometimes in between those series, we'll have smaller studies, smaller series is looking at a specific passage or a verse. Sometimes we'll have series geared toward things like Easter. Anybody looking forward to Easter? Man, just opening God's Word and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to get to that soon because Easter will be here before we know it. We've been praying for God to do a work in our church this year and just at Easter and the week surrounding it, for that to be really special. But for quite some time, our church walked and worked through the 28 chapters in the book of Acts. I love Acts, church. We finished it last week. It was so good, so much for us. Way too much to recap right now, but I wanted to recap just a little bit. In Acts, we saw the mission that Jesus gives you and me and our church to go and be His witnesses to everywhere we go, right? Everywhere we go, we're sharing the gospel. We saw the history of the church. We saw the church grow, right? We saw so many new churches started as Paul and other missionaries and other Christians went from city to city telling others about Jesus and the life Jesus had for them. We saw the gospel transform lives and families and churches, but also transform cities, right? Paul was accused of being those that were turning the world upside down. It was the gospel that was doing that. We got to see the church family and what the church family looked like and what they were devoted to. They were devoted to the Word of God. They were devoted to one another. They were devoted to prayer, church. A huge takeaway for us in Acts is that we do have a mission. We do have a life to live. And we get to be used by God in amazing ways. But it's clear throughout Acts that we cannot do that life or that mission on our own. We need God to do things in and through us. And so we saw that in Acts, that we need to walk with Him. We need to seek Him. We need to be prayerfully dependent on Him. In church, I would say we need to be desperate for Him. Last week, as we closed out our series in Acts, we saw Paul, and we're looking at his example. We saw five different takeaways. I want to look at some of those, just a little recap real quick for us as Christians and for us as a church. One of those takeaways was this: no matter where God has you, no matter what season it is that you're in, no matter what you're doing or where you are, make the most of every opportunity for the Lord. We also saw that we're to use our personal story and we're to open the Bible to point people to Jesus, invite people to follow Jesus. And then we closed out Acts. As we closed that out, we saw that as Christians and as a church family, our lives are to be sold out to live completely for Jesus until we're with Jesus. Throughout the whole book of Acts, we've been seeing how we're to live as Christ followers, how we should be Christ-centered as a church, and how we're to be a part of His mission. And as we were coming up towards the end of Acts, I'm just praying, God, how do we follow up Acts? Well, what do we do? We've got Easter coming up, right? We're going to preach and focus on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But before we get there, after walking through and being challenged and encouraged by Acts and seeing all the takeaways we had last week, what do we do? What's a great next step for us as a church before we dive into the Easter season? And for that, I want us to look at one of the books that God used Paul to write while we looked at Acts. In Acts chapter 28, we saw Paul, he was under house arrest. And we learned that while he was under guard, while he was unable to leave his home, he hadn't gone through trial yet, God used Paul to write four different books of the Bible. Talking about making the most of your time, right? During that time, God used Paul to write Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. As we think about our time in the Word today, I want to bring our attention to one of those books, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. Colossians chapter 3. And Paul, actually it's Colossians chapter 4. But in chapter 3, Paul, in his writing to this church, he's encouraging them and instructing them basically on how do we live our lives as Christ followers. Where do we keep our eyes? How do we set aside sin? How do we live now as Christ followers? And then he continues in chapter 4, and he gives them and us one verse. Well, he gives us more than one verse, but we're going to look at one verse today. Normally, we're unpacking a larger section of Scripture, but sometimes there's so much in one verse, you just got to spend a little more time there. And so for this week, we're going to bring our attention to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. If you haven't, turn there with me. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. We're going to unpack this verse the best that we can. We're going to look at other passages that support this as well, but let's dive into this morning. Would you guys stand? And you guys follow along as I read just this one verse. We're going to seek God in prayer after that. But Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Here's what God's Word says. He's talking to Christ followers. He's talking to the church. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. God, when we are surrounded by a lot of opinions, a lot of ideas, a lot of changing so-called facts, we can trust the Word of God to be true. We can trust the Word of God to always be true. No matter who's in office, no matter what the political environment is, no matter what's going on in our culture, the Word of God, the Bible says, the entirety of your Word is true. We see that the Word of God is good for us. It's good for us to grow and to be taught and be corrected and for us to be challenged and encouraged. God, it shows us that you love us. It shows us the life that you have for us, the life that we were intended to have. It shows us how Jesus came to live and to die for us. And so, God, we thank you for the Word of God. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us today. Be in charge of how all of us listen and respond. Help us give you our attention today as we look at this passage. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You can be seated. I pray that this is true for all of us, but my desire for my life and my desire for our church family is that we would live completely for Christ until we're with Christ. One of the things that we learned from Acts is that these Christians and the church, all throughout Acts, they understood that to live the life Christ called them to, for them to be on mission, for them to remain devoted to God's Word, for them to remain devoted to one another, for them to live the life Christ called them to live, they knew that they must be devoted to prayer. We saw it right away in Acts. In Acts 1:8, Jesus is gathered his people. He gives them, he gives us, he gives the church the mission. He says, you're going to be my witnesses to people everywhere, to the ends of the earth. You're going to tell them the truth about me all throughout the world. And they knew this was a big mission. They knew they could not do it on their own. And so Acts 1:14 tells us that there was 120 of them. They gathered in this upper room, and it says, these all with one mind. That's a miracle right there, church. These all with one mind. They were continually devoting themselves to what? Prayer. They said, we have the life and mission laid out for us. We see it. But we know we cannot do this on our own, in our own strength. They know they needed each other. And they knew they needed the Lord, and so in all unity, they prayed. And they prayed continually, church. Fully dependent on God, desperate for God to be at work in their lives and in their church. God, we want to be used by you, but we can't do it on our own. We can't even do it together. We need you. And we saw this lived out throughout Acts. These Christians, these churches, they prayed. They were devoted to keep praying, church. And so as Paul writes to these Christians, to this church family in Colossians, he basically tells them the same thing. He says, hey, church family, hey, Christ followers, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Sometimes when we read verses in the Bible, we're reading through Matthew as a church, right? We're taking that home and we're reading that, right? But we might look at a verse and might have to ask the question, I'm struggling. What does God want me to learn here? Right? Or what does God want me to do after reading this? Sometimes we have verses that we have to dive in a little bit deeper. But when we read this verse, it's super clear. God wants you. God wants me. He wants us together as a church to pray to him. No confusion, right? He wants us to be devoted to it and not just pray in a service, but in all areas of our church family and our ministries. And he wants you and me to be devoted to prayer as you leave these walls. Right? We're not just to live for Christ here on Sunday morning, but when we leave and we go out into the world, this is the church leaving the building, right? And going out into the community. As we leave these walls, as we go to work and go home or go to the park, wherever it is, he wants us to be devoted to prayer. And so we're grateful that it's super clear. Church, it's easy. God wants you to pray. This is what he wants for your life. This is what he wants for Authentic Life Church. He wants us to pray. And here in a little bit, we'll see some reasons as to why we should pray. But first, it's good to know what prayer is. Now, let me say this. I don't know that we could fully, in one sentence, in one statement, in one sermon, fully state all that prayer is. We're not going to be able to accomplish that today. But we're going to give some definitions and some statements that will help us understand simply what prayer is, and then we'll see reasons as to why we should pray. Very simply put, prayer is a way in which we communicate with the God who created us, in which we converse with God. Prayer is you and I and us as a church family seeking God and asking of God. Now, we can talk about different types of prayers, but seeking, communicating, conversing, and asking God, asking of God is prayer. I believe prayer is also us taking and offering up our desires to God. There's a very well-written statement. It's a historical definition of what prayer is, but I want to build up to it by sharing a little story. In the 1800s, there was a well-known Christian. He did mission work. He was an evangelist. His name was D.L. Moody. Anybody ever heard of D.L. Moody? And he was on tour sharing and speaking the gospel in other countries. And he made a stop in a place called Scotland. Every time I say that, I want to say it like they do, but I can't, you know? In Scotland. I don't know. All right. And while he was there, he was invited to speak to, I believe it was a school, but a very large group of children. And while D.L. was preparing, he was trying to decide what he should talk to these kids about, and he decided he should talk to them about prayer. And so he walks into this room. It said there was hundreds of kids in there. These are elementary age kids. And he asked them this question. He says, okay, I got a question for you, kids. He says, what is prayer? And to his surprise, a whole bunch of hands went up. Now remember, elementary age students. He says, what is prayer? And this young boy up front, he picks him and he says, okay, young man, what is prayer? And he says this, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And then he sat down. Come on, right? Like, what a big answer, church, right? This young man had learned and memorized from the Westminster Catechism the answer to what is prayer. That's a great thing to memorize, church. And in it, we see that prayer is to be done in the name of Jesus. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we see in it the definition that prayer is the offering up of our desires to God. It is conversing. It is communicating. It is seeking God. It is asking of God. And it is the offering up of our desires to God. And when we seek God in prayer, we do confess because our desire is to be forgiven from God, right? Or by God. And we give thanks because our desire is to praise Him and thank Him. And so we praise Him for who He is and what He's done. But as Christ followers, as people who belong to God, church, our prayer is us taking our heart's desires to Him. A well-known preacher once said that our hearts are a desire factory. And we take our desires to God. And now Paul in Colossians in chapter 4, verse 2, he gives us a biblical imperative. Here's what that means. It's a command saying that we are to be devoted to prayer. So now that we've talked a little bit about what prayer is, you guys got that catechism memorized yet? You guys got that answer? That's a big answer, man. But let's talk about why it's so important. Why is it important to know what prayer is and how to pray? It's important to know, church, that Paul isn't suggesting that we pray. If you're a Christ follower, there's no suggestion. He's telling you, you need to pray. And so again, we're not going to be able to cover all of the reasons as to why we need to pray in our time today. But we're going to try to cover three really big reasons as to why we need to pray. The first reason as to why we must pray together as a church and individually is right here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, because God's word is true. Amen, church? His word is right. Right? We can trust it, and when Scripture tells us to do something, we should do it, right? And so reason number one, we pray because it's God's will for us. Pretty easy, right? That's a pretty good reason, isn't it? Why do we pray? Because God says so. Amen? Right? And because it's His will, church, we can trust and obey Him, and He's telling us right here, be devoted to prayer. And we know it's not just here. It's not just Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 telling us to pray. It's all throughout Scripture. We're just going to look at some of them. Jesus Himself tells us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Romans 12:12 tells us that we're to be faithful in prayer. Ephesians 6 says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Over and over again, we see the command to pray. And so because it's God's will for your life and my life and our church family, we're going to do it. Amen, church? We need to pray. One of the questions that many people ask me or maybe you about God is what is His will for my life? I think it's a great question, right? I think it's to glorify God, right? But it's a great question. We know some of the answer to that question right here. His will is for us to pray. You're struggling to know what God wants you to do. He wants you to pray and to be devoted to it. And so knowing it's God's will for us, that's a pretty good reason as to why we do something. But church, there's so much more. God doesn't just say pray because I tell you to, which would be good enough for us. Amen, church? But there's so much more. For the second reason, I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. The second half of that verse says, it says, the prayer of the upright is his delight. Church, this is really good. When his people who are walking with him and who are calling on him, when we pray, he loves it. He delights in it, church. The word delights means to take pleasure. He desires it. And so this is a good reminder for those who might be struggling today. I need you to hear. God desires to hear from you. Right? It pleases your Father in heaven when you pray to him. And this helps when we think, man, God doesn't want to hear from me. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't have time for me. The Bible says the opposite of that, church. He delights in it. And I love what Isaiah 65:24 says. It's speaking of our relationship with God and how much God desires to hear from us. It says this. It says, it will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. God's desire is for you to pray, and he loves that. But here's the picture I get when I read that Isaiah passage. I get the picture that it's almost as if God is sitting on the edge of the seat ready to hear from his children. Ready to hear from those he loves. Before they call, I'll answer. Before they're still, or while they're still speaking, I will hear. You ever think about that? And here's more good news. Let's keep building on it. Not only is it his delight, but he doesn't get tired of hearing from you. Emily already, I think she read my sermon notes, but Emily already said that I really enjoy a good cup of coffee. Right? A good cup of coffee, Emily. Okay. But sometimes I say things and then forget that she could like punch me later or something, right? I love coffee. But there's a limit. There's a point in which I say, that's enough. Justin says no. Like no for me or no for you? No for you. Bro. I seen Adam drink coffee too. That y'all may... I got a problem, y'all, but y'all may be worse. We got any counselors in here that are going to help us with that? But there's a point to even something as glorious as coffee where you just got to say no more. Well, us normal people. But our Lord's delight in our prayers never reaches that point. In Luke 11, we don't have time to talk through all of these, but in Luke 11, when his disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? He gives them a model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? We keep going on and on. He gives them a model prayer. And then he tells them a story to help them understand praying to God. Jesus tells them a story of a persistent neighbor who has a need around midnight. And he goes to the neighbor and he knocks and he asks and he knocks and he asks and he keeps knocking and he keeps asking. And finally the neighbor gets up and answers him. Jesus is saying, God doesn't mind the knocking. He doesn't mind the praying. He definitely doesn't mind the persistent prayers. In fact, he delights in them. He never grows weary of hearing from you. Come on, church. That's a good word, right? Because at some point, like, me and my wife love each other dearly, but there's at some point we're like, okay, Jeff, I've heard that enough, right? You with me? She never says that to me because we have, but he never goes tired of it, church. He loves it when his people trust in him enough and call out on him continually and seek him and ask of him and keep knocking. Church, he loves the sound of your prayerful, persistent knocking. Remember, when Jesus saved us, it's not just like a label we wear. We are adopted into God's family. We are His, and He is ours. There is a real relationship with God. And James 4:8 says this, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Prayer is relational, church, right? It's us drawing near and longing to be with Him and to talk with Him and take our desires to Him. Church, He delights in it. It pleases God when we talk to Him. This is so encouraging, church. There's been things that I've taken to God over and over and over again. And when I see this, I'm just so encouraged because He doesn't get tired of hearing me. I hope it encourages you today, because it's not just God's will for us to be devoted to prayer, but your Heavenly Father, your Creator, the one that spoke and everything came into creation, the one that knit us together in our mother's womb. Church, the one who is your Creator and Sustainer, He knows all, He is almighty, He is all-powerful, He loves you, and He delights in your prayers, church. And that's why 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. Why? Because He can handle it, because He loves to hear it, and because we need it. I can hang out on this one all day. I love to know that God delights in my prayers. If you have this idea that God is this distant, just deity up there, just waiting to strike you down, you've got the wrong picture of Creator God. He loves you. And He wants you to knock and keep knocking and keep praying and keep asking, church. He never grows tired of hearing from us. But let's look to number three. We pray because it's God's will. We're devoted to prayer because He loves it. He delights in it. It pleases God. And number three, we pray, you ready? Because He is God and we are not. Amen. Meaning this, we are fully dependent on Him. I love what it says in Romans chapter 11 in verse 33 through 35. It tells us this of God. It says that His riches, His wisdom, His knowledge are deep. They're endless, church. Right? It tells us that God doesn't need anyone to counsel Him. Right? He doesn't need anyone to give Him of anything. Verse 6 says, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Here's the truth, church. God is the source. Like, He is the sustainer. He is your giver. Acts 17 says it this way, the God we pray to is the God who made the world and all the things in it. Since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though as He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Church, God is the Creator. He gave you your life. He gave you your breath. He is the giver of all things, which means we have no other opportunity for us except to be the receivers. Which means you and I are fully dependent on Him to provide all things. We just saw in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, it says that since He is the source and the giver, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. Psalm 50:15, it says, call upon Me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor Me. To honor also translates to mean glorify. And so when we seek God, when we ask of God, when we recognize that He is God and we are not, when we see that He is the source and the giver, and when we ask of Him and pray to Him, He is glorified. Our aim in life should be to glorify Him. And so when we recognize that we need Him and pray to Him, we glorify Him. When we realize that He is the source, the sustainer, and the giver, it leads us to call out to Him and to ask of Him, and that leads us to glorify Him. God calls us to pray because He wants us to know who He is and to know that we need Him. Church, here's the reality. God is in need of nothing. We're in need of everything. He's the giver of all things, and so He loves when His people come to Him as children, dependent on Him. He's glorified. He is pleased when we seek Him. Church, it doesn't matter what you need. You need joy. You need strength. You need wisdom. You need provision. You need rest. You need health. Whatever it is, God loves to show you His grace and to show that He loves you and that He can meet our needs. And so what do? We're called to humble ourselves before Him. And realize that we cannot, but He can. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus begins by saying this. He said, pray in this way, our Father who is in heaven. Church, he's a good Father. He's a perfect Father. And he loves you. And he's ready to hear from you. And he's ready to provide an answer. I think about when our kids were very little, and it still happens a little bit, but they were in need of just about everything. And they would just cry out for us. You remember that? Right? I mean, just like, they need everything. And they would, you would hold them and they would cry out, I need to be changed. I need food. I need to sleep. I don't feel, you get what I'm saying, church? Like, they just need everything. In that way, as children of God, we should cry out to God and pray to our Father in heaven, because we are fully dependent on Him, just as that baby is fully dependent on mom and dad. We saw this lived out over and over again in Acts. In Acts chapter 2, they pray, God, we can't do this mission on our own, and so we continually pray to you. In Acts chapter 2, God, we can't be the church you call us to be on our own, and so we pray fully devoted to you, right? In Acts chapter 4, God, things are getting scary, they're getting hard, we're facing persecution and threats. God, we can't continue on our own, and so we keep crying out and praying to you. In Acts chapter 7, as Stephen was facing death, God, I cry out to you, I trust you. And so many times we see them pray in Acts, God, be at work in and through us. God, use us, please. They exampled for us a devotedness to praying to God as they knew they were fully dependent on Him. Church, at Authentic Life Church, we need God. We are fully dependent on God. And church, we need to be desperate for God to do what only He can do. I quote this passage a lot. I love it. As a church planter, we believed in it. We clung to it, held tight to it, whatever the word is. Clung to it. I'm going with clung. We clung to it, church. Verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3. Now to Him, God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That's who we pray to. We pray because He is God and we are not. Anybody need to say that today? He's God and I'm not, right? And because we're fully dependent on the giver of all things, I'm reminded that this is how we were created to be. Church, doesn't matter how gifted you are, you and I, we were never meant to do life alone. We were never meant to do ministry apart from God. We were made to be in a relationship with Him, to walk with Him, to lean into Him, to trust Him, to ask of Him, to fully depend on Him. It's in those moments, church, when we aren't talking with God, we aren't walking with God, we aren't seeking Him, we're not asking, that we find ourselves in trouble. Amen? Come on, church. Right? When we're not walking with God, we're not in the Word, we're not talking with God, we find ourselves doing things we shouldn't be doing. When you're facing temptation or walking through sin, church, pray. Right? Seek God for His forgiveness and His mercy and His grace. Pray for His direction for you. Whatever it is that you're facing, He's the answer, church. Isn't it a little crazy that we often forget to pray when we need something? As Christ followers, remember, He's God and we're not. ALC, remember, He's God and we need Him. We're still fully dependent on Him. And as we see God move and work in and through us, when we see amazing things happening, it's just a reminder He's the source, that He alone is God, and that we need Him even more. Church, let's continue to pray. God, would you do things in and through us that only you can take credit for? Before we moved out here, you guys have heard me say this, I'm going to keep sharing this until I can't anymore. Before we moved out here, we were scared. God, we're moving, we're leaving our family, we're leaving everything. We've got people that are going to support us, but we just trust you, God. And we said, God, would you do things in and through us that only you can take credit for? And guess what? He did, and He is, and He will. Continue to do things in and through us, God, that only you can do. We need you, God. We trust you, God. We call out to you, God. We praise you, God. We confess our sins to you, God. We thank you, God, because you are God, and we need you. Church, prayer is no small thing. It's not just a religious thing that you do. right? It's not just something you do as Christians or as a church, right? When we pray up here as a church, it shouldn't just be transitional so someone can get off stage. We should be talking to the Creator, church, right? Prayer is vital. The question has been asked many times before, what's more important in our life? As we walk with Jesus, what's the most important thing for me to do? Should I be in the Word or should I be in prayer? The answer to that is yes. Right? Both and all. It's a lot like asking the question, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? Yes. We breathe in the Word of God and we breathe out to prayer, in prayer to God. Church, as Jesus followers, as a church, we must be devoted to prayer. Why? Because God says to do it. It's His will for our lives. Two, because He delights in it. He loves it. He's ready to hear from you. And three, because He is God and we are not, because we need Him, church. So now let's go back and start our sermon in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. All right. Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer. So what does it mean to be devoted? It means to continue in it. Be constant in it. Right? To be steadfast in it. It means that we're to pray often and pray regularly. We show we're devoted to prayer, church. We show that we're devoted to taking our desires to God and confessing and devoted to calling out to Him. We show that we're devoted to seeking God and His will when we pray often and pray regularly. That's what it means. Pray often and pray regularly. Be devoted. It means to not forget to do it. Like, don't forget to do it. It's part of who you are and what we do. Can you imagine me having a relationship with my wife and us not talking? By the way, some of us try that, don't we? It doesn't work out too well. To be devoted to something means to take steps to make sure it's a part of your everyday life, just like eating and sleeping. We need those things, amen? And so we're devoted to them. And His Word is saying prayer needs to be a normal part of your life. I can't imagine going long without talking to my wife, with my kids, with the people that I love, right? It's vital for our relationship. It's vital for our marriage. And so we do it. Same thing with prayer. You got to do it. If you struggle with it, pull out your phone that distracts you from prayer and put a reminder in there to pray. Come on, right? Set a reminder, right? Make it the first thing you do in the morning and the last thing you do at night. Not to be legalistic, not to follow rules, but simply because that's what you were made to do. Right? As we gather as a church, we're devoted to prayer. Today after worship, we're going to have our second Sunday. It's a devoted time to pray. Prayer must be a vital part of everything that we do at Authentic Life. And so we're devoted to it. And then Paul says, be alert in it. Almost like Paul knows we need some help here, right? Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. To keep alert simply means to work against distractions and hindrances. But it also means to be alert, to know what to pray for, to be attentive and to focus. And so do what you have to do as you pray to stay awake. Church, to stay undistracted, to stay focused on what God is doing. Sometimes when we pray, church, we're not really alert. We just become robots. We just become mechanical. We just say the same thing over and over and over again. We become repetitive, saying what we've always said without any meaning or intentionality behind it. But God, He deserves your attention, church. He deserves our alertness, our awakeness. He deserves our focus and our intentionality. One of the challenges is to not just be vague, but to talk in depth and specifics. You know, as I'm thinking about my own life and I think about my kids and teaching them to pray, it's, you know, God, forgive me of my sins, but what sin? Like, be specific about it, church. God, help me have a good day. What does that mean? Be specific about it. Don't be vague. Church, there's going to be times where you're just driving down the road and God brings something to your mind and so you just pray. It's quick and I think that's perfect. There are some times when we pray while we're on the go, right? Pray continually. But there also needs to be the alone time with God. Jesus modeled this well for us. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Jesus had been on the go. But it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He got up, went out, and made His way to a deserted place, and there He was praying. We see other passages of Jesus getting away to the mountain to just be with the Father in prayer. Church, we need to talk to God on the go, as we drive, as we work, as we're talking with others. We need to pray to God together corporately. We see that modeled well in Scripture, but don't miss those alone times with God, church. I'd encourage you to have those times set aside daily where it's just you and the Lord. Time where you can just go deep. You can focus and be unrushed with the one that loves you more than anybody else. So as we follow Christ as a church family, we pray because it's God's will. We pray because He delights in it. We pray because God is God and we are not. We need Him and we pray. We're to be devoted to it. We're to be alert, awake, and focused, church. And then Paul closes this verse out with this. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Charles Spurgeon, known as, he's with the Lord now, but known as the Prince of Preachers, he said this about this verse. He said, our prayer should be mingled with praise. That's a good word. We do a lot of asking without a lot of praising sometimes. Our prayer should include praise and thanksgiving. When we give thanks to God, why do we give thanks? It's because we see Him for who He is, for what He's done, and what He's still doing. To give Him praise requires us to see Him at work in our lives and in our church. For us to be thankful, we have to first recognize all that God has done. And so as you pray, be thankful for what God has done, church. When we take the time to praise God and give Him thanks, it shows us just how good He is. I promise you, you pause for just 5 minutes and just think of a few things that God has done for you, it will change how you live that day. It changes your life. When we pray, we ask God about the future, but we should also thank Him for the past. Thank Him for His love, for His provision. Thank Him for His ability to pray, right? The ability to pray to Him. Thank Him for all He's already done. Thank Him for your salvation, church. Thank Him for His grace and His mercy. Thank Him for your children. Thank Him for your spouse. Thank Him for our church and kids' life and our ministries that we have here. Thank Him for the guests that we have today. Thank Him for everything that He's doing in our church. Thank Him for those He's brought together as the church family, for all He's doing in our church. We could go on and on and on, but church, the point is, we must thank Him and praise Him for it. Here's the reality. I think I'm going to cover everybody with saying this. For you to be the dad, the mom, the husband and wife, the child, the friend, the worker, the neighbor, the employee, the employer that God calls us to be, we must be devoted to prayer. Because you cannot live out those roles without Him. Not the way you were designed to. Moms and dads, let your kids see you pray. Grandmas and grandpas, are you with me, church? Like, let them see you pray. For us to be the church, for us to be used by God, for us to see others know Jesus, for us to be able to love and be united together, we've got to be devoted to prayer. And honestly, I hope you're able to join us as we pray right after the service. But as we close, be encouraged this morning. Because the life Jesus calls us to live is not to be done alone, Jesus promises that He's going to be with us always, and God always hears us, church. And so we pray. We humbly come before the Lord God. Because it's His will. Why should you pray? Because God says so. It's His will. Because He delights in it. And because we need Him. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, here's some really good news for you. First of all, we've been praying for you. If you're here today, we've prayed for you. And we would also pray that you would know of God's love for you. We would pray that you would know that Jesus came for you. God so loved you that He sent Jesus. Jesus went to the cross to die for you and your sins so that you could be forgiven and brought back into a relationship with your Savior. The Bible tells us that when Jesus died, that veil was torn. What was the veil? It was that separating between us and the presence of God, right? That veil was torn, which means this. If you are saved, if Jesus is Lord of your life, if you belong to Him, you have complete access to Him, church. If the Lord is calling you today to believe in Him and ask Him to save you, don't wait. We'd love to tell you about Jesus. Let's pray.